In a new article entitled How Politics Poisoned the Evangelical Church, Tim Alberta writes that he's spent his life watching evangelicalism morph from a spiritual disposition into a political identity. He says that transformation is causing major divisions inside the church and political danger outside the church. Tim Alberta is a staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us now. Tim, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Tim, you write about two evangelical pastors in Michigan to show how extreme partisan advocacy and extremism within the church is really fracturing the church. So let's start with the Floodgate Church in Brighton, Michigan, and its pastor, Bill Bolin. What are Bill Bolin's sermons like? Let's start there.
Sure. Well, what I try to get across in the piece is that despite having grown up in that town, and despite being the son of a pastor in that town and knowing just about everybody at all the churches in that town, I'd actually never heard of Floodgate. It was a very small church. And a couple of years ago, at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, the pastor there, Bill Bolin, essentially made a calculation that he was not going to shut down his church in compliance with state orders. And in so doing, he became a small-time celebrity in the local evangelical scene. And the church, which had a weekly attendance of somewhere around 100, started seeing several hundred. And today, the church is pushing towards 2,000 people on an average Sunday. Effectively, what Bolin, the pastor there, has done is harness political and cultural grievance and really weave it into the fabric of the church. It's a place where there has been an effortless alliance between political conservatism, in many cases sort of far-right Republican ideology, and conservative biblical theology. Mm. And it has produced quite a windfall financially, in addition to the massive numbers of new people attending the church.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this term you use, this fusion of Republican orthodoxy and traditional conservative theology. So give us an example. What kinds of things does Bolin say in terms of the sort of Republican orthodoxy that he's offering from the pulpit?
So on any given Sunday, you will hear about Republican efforts around the country to ease COVID restrictions, for example, or policies on mask wearing, for example. But it goes farther into more conspiratorial areas regarding vaccines and the implications of what vaccines are doing to people, harming people, even going so far as to preach the gospel of ivermectin, if you will. Mm-hmm. Ivermectin, of course, the controversial horse dewormers that has been promoted by a number of conservative media personalities, but has been shown in tests to do nothing in treating COVID-19. Those are the sorts of things that this pastor has become, I should say, incentivized to weave into his sermons and into his church presentation more and more, because many of the people coming to his church, and this is very important to understand, they are coming from churches that are not political, that have refused to engage in a lot of these culture war issues. And so the people leaving those churches have come expressly for this sort of political activity.
And what does Bolin say to questions about why he's doing this? Because you talk about how the sort of pastoral mission is supposed to be focused on broader issues that have to do with scripture, not so much these earthly issues around conspiracy theories, around politics and so forth. What's his response to that?
First and foremost, he is a believer that pastors have been in the past and should be today primary influencers in their communities as far as who we elect and who our leaders are. And I think even beyond that, this is someone who believes that evangelical Christians have ceded too much ground over the last 20 or 30 years, that if they continue to backpedal, then they will be sort of driven out of public life altogether, that the secularists and the liberals will conquer them, and that if churches don't do something now to hold their ground, then they're going to lose this fight.
Right. And there's a fight within the church. And to talk about that, you also write about another evangelical pastor, Ken Brown. He leads a conservative church in Trenton, just outside of Detroit. But he's trying to keep his church members from being radicalized by sort of right-wing politics. And he explained to you that the crisis for the church is a crisis of discernment. Explain what he means by that.
Ken Brown has been trying to keep a lid on this inside his church and trying to help people understand you know, which battles are worth fighting and aren't worth fighting, but I think even more fundamentally, trying to discern what is true from what is untrue. So much of the political rhetoric that animates a place like Floodgate is untrue. Much of what I've heard Bill Boland say from the pulpit or share on his Facebook page, things he said to me in our interviews, simply were not factually accurate. And what Ken Brown is trying to preach to his people is, listen, it's okay to be politically engaged, but your duties as a Christian should come first. And second, to the extent that you should be politically engaged, you should be engaged and informed by things that are true. Hmm. And a challenge he believes that is facing the entirety of the evangelical movement is just this basic idea that credibility is eroded and ultimately lost when Christians are throwing themselves into political causes on a basis of things, arguments, ideas that are not rooted in fact.
Right. And you make the point that pretty much any poll is going to tell you that white evangelical Christians are, and this is the way you phrase it, the most opposed to vaccines, most convinced that the 2020 presidential election was stolen, most inclined to subscribe to QAnon conspiracy theories. So why is that? What is it about this group that makes them so susceptible to buying into this kind of misinformation and then spreading it?
For one thing, it's just at a basic level, easy to see how, you know, white evangelical Christians who are theologically and culturally conservative and who would form sort of this unlikely alliance with Donald Trump at the time that he became the Republican nominee in 2016, that those are the same folks who would find themselves most vulnerable to, if you will, to being persuaded about things like a stolen election. In other words, the people who were the most committed and engaged Trump supporters would then become the most committed and engaged believers when it comes to this idea that the election was stolen from Donald Trump, for instance. I do think that there is something deeper. If you have been steeped in this rhetoric of America in decline and the church under attack, and that, you know, somebody like Donald Trump was the only one who is willing to stand up and fight for your values, but now he's lost this election under suspicious terms, and the government in blue states is telling you that you can't go to church anymore. You add all of this up, and it seems to some of these people like there is this sort of grand conspiracy to eliminate evangelical Christianity from American life. And that's not much of an overstatement.
Wow. And speaking of support for Donald Trump, you point out that 81% of white evangelicals supported Donald Trump for president in 2016. So they played a substantial role in helping elect him. So how was that election a kind of turning point for the evangelical movement? And as you write, the beginning of its unraveling, you have big concerns about this.
You know, Donald Trump's victory in 2016, which was really powered by the white evangelical movement, could be seen as the height of that movement's power, but also as the beginning of its decline. Because on the one hand, you have prominent evangelical Christian leaders in this country who had more access to the highest rungs of political power in this country than they'd ever had before. In that sense, there's no question that, you know, the transactional relationship between Trump and the evangelical community did prove beneficial for a time. On the other hand, you have to consider this question of credibility and Christian leaders ceding some of their credibility, some of their moral high ground, if you will, by allying themselves with someone who is manifestly sort of antithetical to many of just the core values that have been preached in these churches and preached by these same evangelical leaders. And so what you see in public polling and what you see anecdotally on the ground is not just church membership in decline and sagging confidence in the institution of the church, but inside the evangelical movement today, you have massive conflict between people who feel like the church has gotten too political versus people who feel like they haven't gone far enough because they think that this is sort of their last stand and their last opportunity to preserve their influence in this country.
Really interesting. So this split within the church is exemplified by these two preachers, this firebrand super preacher, Bill Boland, and Ken Brown, who talks about the need for discernment. And you write that both parties believe there is a war for the soul of the American church within the church, right?
That's right. you know, having been on the ground for the past year in churches all across the country and talking with pastors and just everyday churchgoers, it's absolutely true and it's apparent that the institution itself is really at sort of a fork in the road. And you see massive movement of people leaving churches that they'd been a part of for 10, 20, 30 years and relocating to new churches because those churches reflected their political values.
Wow.
For generations in this country, you've had people who consider their political affiliations in the context of their faith. And now what you're seeing really for the first time is people beginning to consider their faith affiliations in the context of their politics. And that just represents a sea change in American life.
Incredibly profound. That's Tim Alberta. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic. His latest article is How Politics Poisoned the Evangelical Church. And you can find a link to that article at hereandnow.org. Tim, thank you so much for your reporting. It was very good to have you today.
Thank you for having me.